You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled, I Am the Good Shepherd, is the second message in the series, I Am, based on the Gospel of John, and is taught by Pastor Graham McInnes. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Good to have you with us today, and what a privilege it is to be able to come and share God's word with you this morning. Will you stand as we read together the word of God? John chapter 10 from verse 11 to 18. John chapter 10, verse 11 to 18. We continue our studies this morning in the I Am passages. And obviously, you know that it's I am the good shepherd today. Verse 11, John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Let us pray. Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus. Open our ears that we may hear Jesus. Open our hearts that we may receive Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. There's no better love picture of Jesus than the picture of him as the good shepherd. And the idea of a shepherd is deeply woven into the language and the imagery of the Bible. Throughout the history of Israel, the people of God have been portrayed as the flock of God. Psalm 95, verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And in the New Testament, the church is referred to as the flock, as we see in Acts chapter 20 and 1 Peter chapter 5. Abraham, the father of the nation, was a keeper of large flocks. Moses was tending flocks when God called him into that special service. And as we know, King David was a shepherd boy. When the prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah, he worded it by saying in Isaiah 40 verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd, he gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So it's no wonder that the image of a shepherd was frequently upon the lips of our Savior. It was part and parcel of Israel's heritage and culture. Now we see Jesus tap into that imagery when he refers to himself as the good shepherd. Remember the story Jesus told about the shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one went astray, and Jesus leaves those 99 and went out to search for that which was lost. And it's obvious that the notion of the shepherd has been stamped upon our thinking. And here in John's Gospel, this is the fifth of the seven of our Lord's I am statements. Now, you are aware, I'm sure, that these are more than just grammatical. It is great theology, because this is a clear affirmation of his absolute deity. In the original Greek, the words are solemnly emphatic and echo Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. We remember God said to Moses, I am who I am. And God says to Moses, tell them, I am, have sent you. That's God's personal covenant name, Yahweh, I am. And you'll remember in John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. Now that's terrible grammar. But you know, it's wonderful doctrine. It's a forceful statement of his eternal pre-existence and deity. And this was not lost on the Jews. They fully understood what he meant. He had used the divine name, the I am, for himself. And so we find they picked up stones to stone him for blasphemy. Now the context of our passage is that it completes the Lord's discourse with the Pharisees. They were the religious shepherds of Israel, but they were very poor shepherds, only concerned about themselves. In fact, they were the very fulfillment of the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1 to 10. Now, this passage of John chapter 10 is not in isolation. Rather, it continues from the end of chapter 9, where you remember Jesus has healed a man born blind. The religious leaders did not approve, and they threw that man out of the synagogue because he put his trust in Jesus as the Messiah. So the center of this passage is on the statement of Jesus, I am the good shepherd. And our Lord shows that he is the fulfillment of the second part of Ezekiel's prophecy in chapter 34 from verse 11 onwards. And he speaks against these religious leaders, contrasting himself with them. And he shows what a good and a true shepherd will be like. So let us unpack this section and see what we can learn. So if you're taking notes, you will see, firstly, who is he? I am the good shepherd. He says that twice, verse 11 and verse 14. And I want you to notice the definite article, the. This applies to both the noun and the adjective. You see, Jesus is not just a shepherd, but the shepherd. But he is also the good shepherd. And John gives equal emphasis to both. And the literal translation is more emphatic. It would be, I am the shepherd, the good. Now, the word translated good is a very comprehensive one. And its scope in English is impossible to embrace in one word. It means intrinsically good, beautiful, worthy. It describes that which is ideal, the perfect. And our Lord's goodness was inherent in his nature. You remember, to call Jesus good is the same as calling him God. Mark chapter 10, verse 18, he said to that young man, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. So Jesus is addressing the Israelites, and Israel's shepherd was none other than Yahweh, God of the Old Testament. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And here Jesus definitely identifies himself with this meaning. In effect, he is saying, I am the divine and spiritual shepherd. All other shepherds are merely human. He is the preeminently excellent shepherd, infinitely elevated above all who had gone before him. So Jesus contrasts his role as shepherd with that of others who just claim to care for God's sheep and do not do a good job. Jesus is the shepherd, the one that is good. So secondly, we ask, what does he do? Well, in verse 10 to 13, we find firstly that he gives life to the sheep. Look at verse 10 and verse 28. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You see, life without Christ is just mere existence. But with Christ, life is something more. It's abundant and eternal. And you can see that when people come to know Jesus as their Savior. 2 weeks ago, we had our baptism service and heard testimonies of people who had come to know Jesus. Two of them are here today. And to see the change in their lives when they realize who Jesus is and what he's done for them, and they accept him. Life does a change. That's why we are told, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New creation is actually the word. The old is gone, the new has come. So when you come to Christ, something happens to you. Life takes on a different meaning. It's more than just existing day by day, going through the same thing over and over again. Because the life that our Lord gives us transforms our present life on earth, gives us a joy, a peace, knowing that our sins are forgiven, and opens up a new life forever. We then have the gift of eternal life. The moment we are born again of the Spirit of God, we have, present tense, eternal life. We're not waiting for it somewhere by and by, pie in the sky kind of thing. We have it now. And life takes on a totally different meaning. And all of you who have experienced that know what I'm talking about. How Jesus brings a whole new meaning to your life. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 1, verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a whole transaction that takes place. And it's something that is very, very difficult for us to explain. But it's very real. As we read the encounter of Jesus with Nicodemus, and he says to him 3 times, you must be born again. And Nicodemus sort of goes through that whole question of how it's going to happen and how's it going to be seen. And Jesus says those words that it's like the wind. We don't know where the wind comes from or where it goes to. But dear friends, none of us have seen the wind, but we see the effects of the wind. None of us can explain how we are born again spiritually, but we find the effects of it in our lives. Our eyes are open to new truths. We understand things that we never understood before. And life takes on a new meaning because now there's an eternal perspective for us. Yes, he gives life to the sheep. But he also gives his life for the sheep. Verses 11, 15, and 17 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Now, here, the point of this is very important. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Having voluntarily taken up a human body in the incarnation that we celebrate at Christmas, born in Bethlehem as a baby, he now voluntarily lays it down. Why? Because he knew his death was the only way of making atonement for our sin. This was planned in the councils of eternity with the Trinity, that here was this great plan of salvation, that God would send his Son to die on the cross for us, to be the sacrifice, to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And because he loves us, he was determined to pay our debt to God and to redeem us from hell. I said this last week at our communion service. I want to say it again. You see, Jesus was not the victim at the crucifixion. He has authority, he says, to lay down his life, and he has authority to take it back again. His death on the cross wasn't because of the cross. He didn't die because of the nails in his body, the spear side. He died on the cross. He had complete control of the situation. It was at the exact moment of the evening sacrifice, 3 o'clock, that he was able to say, "It is finished." And then it says he gave up his spirit. And the idea there is very clear, that it is as if he was dismissing his spirit as we would dismiss a servant or somebody like that. A deliberate act. He gave his life freely and voluntarily in our place as our substitute. And he dies that we might live. Now we know, as having come through Easter a couple of weeks ago, his death to all intents and purposes seemed to be a defeat. When all the forces of evil thought they had done their worst to him, we see the good shepherd take up his life again. His voluntary death was followed by his victorious resurrection. Yes, 3 days later he rose from the dead. And he said, "I have authority from my Father to do this." And we say, hallelujah. Our brothers and sisters in Israel at the moment, I don't know when they would have visited the garden tomb. My wife and I have been to Israel and visited there. And when you go into the garden tomb, you turn around and you see the words, "He is not here, he has risen." What an epitaph on the tomb of Jesus, as our stained glass window here reminds us. He's not here, he's risen. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. We worship a risen, living Savior. And now he lives to intercede for us, as the writer to Hebrews in chapter 10:25 reminds us. And this, dear friends, means that he can be your good shepherd and mine today, if we put our trust in him. So the third question we must answer is, how does he do this? Well, perhaps the best way of thinking about this is to look through the lens of the sheep. We are reminded in Isaiah 53 verse 6, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." That may not seem very flattering, to be likened to a sheep, but it's nevertheless true. There is one thing universally true about sheep. They are jittery and generally afraid. They have a tendency to wander off and get lost. And that is why we hear the story of the lost sheep several times in the Bible. This is what sheep do. wander off and get into trouble. They get scared and frantic, lost, and they find themselves in need of help and rescue. That's why Jesus again spoke about that lost sheep, explaining the fact of them getting lost. Dear friends, I don't know about you, but I know for me, our lives are more often like that, isn't it? And we are more like sheep than we care to admit. The function of the shepherd is to care for the sheep and do whatever is required by that care. Now let's see how this has worked out by our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows them by name. John chapter 10, verse 3b, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now we need to understand that sheep in those days were mostly kept for their wool, whereas today they are kept for their meat as well. Eastern shepherds, therefore, would stay longer with their sheep, and a close relationship between the shepherd and the sheep often developed. The shepherd knew his sheep by name, and the sheep were able to distinguish the voice of the shepherd and that of the stranger, as verse 3 to 5 reminds us. Notice that Jesus calls us his own. It suggests how dear each of us is to him if we have trusted him as our Savior. Whilst it's true he cares for the flock, he also cares for each one of those sheep individually. I know I've said this before from this pulpit, but for me, to personalize John 3:16 makes such a difference. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. The world, yes, we think of the world, but who makes up the world? Individuals like you and me. So I personalize that verse and I say, for God so loved Graham that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Graham believes on him, he will not perish but have eternal life. See how personal then that becomes, because it's not something just out there. This is something very personal to us. And that's the relationship that the shepherd had with the sheep, a very personal one. And if we are his own, then of course he has the entire right to our allegiance to him. He calls us not only to be sheep, but to follow him. And that's what we need to do, follow him in obedience day by day. And I think there's something very wonderful in the thought that Christ calls his sheep by the individual names. Just think of that. He knows us by name. We're told he knows all about us. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. And for some, he doesn't have to count very hard. But he knows everything about us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows the worst about us. He knows the best about us. He knows us because he's our shepherd and we his sheep. Just think of that. He knows his sheep. When you feel that nobody cares, when you feel you're out there and nobody bothers about you, nobody understands you, just think. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows your situation. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're feeling. He knows your exact situation and circumstance. Just think of that. See, knowing a person's name means that you have some connection with them. And what a very precious truth is that, to know that Jesus knows everyone who loves him by name. And I want to ask you the question, do you have that personal relationship with the Good Shepherd? Does he know you by name, that you have come to him and committed your life to him? John 10, verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. You see, there's a difference, isn't there, between how a mother knows her child to the way a hired nurse does. And this means he knows, as I said, everything about us. And like a good shepherd, he tenderly cares for us. What does that mean? Well, isn't it wonderful that he patiently bears your and my many weaknesses? He does not cast us off because we are wayward and erring and go astray. He will leave those 99 in the fold and will go and search for that lost sheep. He guards and protects us against our enemies, as Psalm 23 reminds us. Dear friend, maybe you feel lost today. Maybe you just feel out there that nobody cares, nobody worries about you. You're carrying big burdens and not able to share them with others. May I tell you that Jesus is searching for you. Yes, you. The expression, my sheep, I think points to that close relationship that exists between Christ and believers. You see, we are his by gift from the Father. We are his by purchase of his blood. And we are his by his calling of us to himself. And just as sheep hear the voice of their own shepherd and follow him, so do believers follow Christ. By faith, we listen to his call. By faith, we submit ourselves to him. And by faith, we lean on him and commit our souls to him. Again, may I ask, have you done that? Are you one of his sheep? If not, why not turn to him today? Invite him into your life. Then we see he leads them. John 10:4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, this may sound strange to our Western ears, especially certainly in Africa, where I come from, used to seeing sheep, goats, and cattle driven by herdsmen behind the animals. Not so the Eastern sheep. He goes ahead and leads the sheep wherever he wants to take them. At night, he leads them into the fold for safety. And in the morning, he leads them out to pasture. Now, while my wife, BJ, and I had a personal experience of that when we were in Israel some years ago, we were sitting on the slopes of the hills looking down to the Lake of Galilee. We were sitting amongst some rocks, meditating and praying, and we saw up a path coming a shepherd leading his sheep. He had about 10 sheep that he was leading. He was an Arab, obviously, with his staff, and he had everything that we read about in Psalm 23. And as the nearer he came, we heard him talking to his sheep. And then he arrived, and we were sitting there on the rocks, a few yards away from him, and the sheep started pasturing, and he was chatting to them. Obviously, we didn't understand Arabic, so we couldn't understand what he was saying to them, but they understood Arabic more than we did. And they were there. And when the time came, he spoke to them. He got up and started leading them away. And they followed him. Dear friends, the only anomaly was for us that shepherd was smoking a cigarette. But we saw it with our own eyes. The shepherd leading the sheep and talking to them. That's how the Eastern shepherd does it. You see, the sheep need to be led. They have no such instinct for finding their own way as most other animals have. And sheep wander off, and a lost sheep never finds its way back. Dear friends, again, you and I are just like them, aren't we? And so our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, leads us, and he goes on before us throughout our life. Maybe he's leading you through the dark paths, valleys of sickness, valleys of pain, valleys of bereavement or loneliness, financial difficulty, loss of a job, or some stormy family relationship. He is always just before you. And where He is, you are safe if you belong to Him, if He is your good shepherd. It doesn't matter what the circumstances and situations of your life may be, He is there. He is always just before us. And we are safe. You're not alone if you are one of His flock. Because you see, He has promised never to leave us or forsake us, as Hebrews 13 verse 5 mentions. And dear friends, you also have the support of the church flock or the church family who are here to help and comfort you. That is why it's so important to get into growth groups where meaningful relationships are created and you can be loved and cared for by others in the church. One of the great privileges of being a pastor is to be there to share in people's joys and sorrows and to point them to the Good Shepherd in their times of need. We are here so that people will meet, know, and follow Jesus. The wonderful thing is this: not a sheep of Christ's was ever lost under His leading and guidance. When they wandered off, He went in search of them until He found them and brought them back with great rejoicing. Maybe I'm talking to someone today who once walked with Jesus, but now for some reason your love for Him has grown cold and you've lost that joy of your salvation. Let me tell you, He's searching for you right now to bring you back. 1 Peter 2 verse 25, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Do not be discouraged. Do not be hopeless. He's looking for you and He wants to bring you back. And then, dear friends, when He finally leads us through the valley of the shadow of death into the heavenly fold, we will be safe there for all eternity and blessed in His presence and love. Read Psalm 23 again and see how that applies. Through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow, not the real thing. Shadow is caused by light behind an object. Yes, my shadow over there, because there's a light shining here. That shadow is not me. Death for the believer is not the real thing, because Jesus died and rose again. And He said, as we heard last week, "Whoever believes in Him, though he die, shall live." And that's a wonderful truth that we have. And I want to say this from a personal point of view. As a pastor, it's been an amazing thing to witness the peaceful and confident way those who pass from death to life, because they knew the Lord as their shepherd, compared to those who do not know Him. I've said this before to people. I believe if I was not a Christian, what I have seen in the death of Christians compared to the death of non-Christians would have convinced me of the reality of the Christian faith and truth. There is something very different. And I have witnessed that many times. And I say again, that's where the real rubber hits the road, as it were, at that time, to know Him as your shepherd. Then Psalm 23 becomes very real to one. May I ask again, do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, why don't you come to Him now? You can, while you're sitting there, reach out to Him by faith and invite Him into your life. Lastly, we see He lays down His life for the sheep. John 10:11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And here's the ultimate attribute of the good shepherd. There's no limit to his care for his sheep, no sacrifice too great for them. As we saw earlier, he did not have to do that. He chose to go through all that agony because he loved us so much. You see, Jesus died on that cross in order to save you and me from our sin and from eternal separation from God. And the word "for" here means not merely on our behalf, but in actual fact, instead of, in our place. The good shepherd lays down his life so that you, me, his shepherd, may be saved from the final enemy of death. He died as our substitute once for all in order to save us. Instead of sheep dying, the shepherd dies for them. And this indeed is a love that surpasses knowledge. John 15:13 reminds us, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. So we come round the full circle and see again how Jesus is the only way of salvation. He declares emphatically, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To enter through Jesus is to find safety, shelter, and salvation. And it is really the difference between life and death. Perhaps you're longing to experience a salvation today. You are only too aware that each of us has one day to face death. And maybe you have no hope beyond that. You see, this abundant life is available to you now. If you hear the shepherd's voice saying, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hear his voice telling of his love and care for you that took him to Calvary to die in your place that you might live. This is a salvation he offers. Life in all its fullness, not only for now, but for all eternity. And Jesus is calling you to come, to follow, and to find life. I know it's hard when there are so many different voices trying to entice you in so many different ways. But the Good Shepherd is calling you today, personally. Will you respond? Let us pray. Oh, let me hear your speaking in accents clear and still, above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, you guardian of my soul. Thank you, Lord, that you came as the Good Shepherd. Thank you for all that that means for those who know you and trust you and love you. And thank you that you will be our shepherd, not only through this life, but in the life to come. Thank you for your assurance. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are needing prayer today, for whatever reason, BJ and I will be here, Mike and Pat will be here, and I'll ask Dr. J if he will come and stand here, and we're here to pray over you and for you. And during the singing of these songs, we invite you to come if you're needing any kind of prayer. It's a wonderful opportunity. God bless you. Let us pray. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.